This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
I don't think you can be an optimist. You actually have to be one of those people that looks at all the things that could possibly go wrong and try to prepare for it. Anxiety is a big part of this job, but I try to put it to productive use in saying, what can we prepare for?
Hey guys, welcome to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Hope everyone out there listening is doing great. Really appreciate you tuning in, whether it's on the radio or via podcast. And I'm super excited to bring you this week's episode. You know, I really love the opportunity to interview folks in our local government, just get to know them, get to know what they're working on. And this week, I check in with St. Louis Alderman Michael Browning. He's the alderman of Ward 9, which was one of the areas that was greatly impacted by the May 16th tornado here in St. Louis. So we talk about the aftermath of the tornado. We talk about the dynamics at the Board of Aldermen, traffic safety, and a lot more during this episode. And fun fact, I worked with Alderman Browning a long, long time ago at Raging Rivers Water Park in Grafton, Illinois. So it was cool to reconnect with him and talk about St. Louis now that we're both big city residents. So let's get straight into it. I'm joined now by Alderman Michael Browning from Ward 9. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so my first question, it's kind of a silly question. Do you remember me from working together at Raging Rivers?
What area did you work in?
I worked in admissions.
Okay, so no. But to be fair, you know, it was hot summers. We were always in different stations. I was often stationed alone. So
yeah.
Yeah, but it is fun that we have that connection.
Yeah, I remember most of the people that I worked with at the time because that was like my first job, and it's such a fun first job. And I don't know about you, it probably is just me, but I will like dream about Raging Rivers sometimes. Like I'm back there and I'm working there, and it's always so pleasant. I'm like, man, I kind of wish I could.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We all have different memories from the places that we've worked, and I always give people the advice that if you really enjoy going somewhere recreationally, don't go work there. It'll ruin it for you.
So the reason we both work there is because we're both from Southern Illinois, and now we live in St. Louis. Kind of tell me about your journey from Southern Illinois to the big city that we live in now.
Yeah, well, like a lot of people from Southern Illinois, I saw opportunity and employment here in St. Louis. So after graduating college, I had originally planned to go to law school, but decided at the time with some of the largest law school classes graduating, there was a little bit of a saturation of lawyers to the point that lawyers that I knew that were graduating were taking jobs as paralegals because there simply weren't jobs even from top schools. So I said, you know, I think think it'd be better not to go into a ton of debt at this time. I'll just save this decision for later, and decided to go into the workforce instead. So I got a job at a startup company here in St. Louis, and pretty soon was moving over to Brentwood Forest, which I always feel like is a rite of passage for people who sometimes first come to the area before realizing, you know what, I'm a city person. So I moved in with my now wife in the Forest Park Southeast neighborhood, and we've lived there since 2012.
So what kind of inspired the jump to politics? I will say, I hope I'm not creeping you out, but I do remember you from when we worked together, and I remember you supporting Obama. I think that was you.
Yeah.
So that, like, whenever I saw that you were running, I was like, I know that name. And then when I saw your face, I'm like, we worked together. I remember this guy. So obviously you had, you know, a lot of people at like 18, 19 are not quite into politics yet. You were obviously already there. What made you decide, like, okay, I'm going to get into this for myself?
You know, I became interested in national and international politics since I was about 12. You know, 9/11 is a typical moment for a lot of millennials to look back on and say it opened my eyes to a lot of things. And when that happened, I became political. Now, I was still very young and learning a lot, but I would definitely say that's when I became a Democrat. And then I didn't make the transition to local politics until I lived in St. Louis for a number of years, got involved in my local neighborhood association, first as the treasurer. It was one of those situations where the old treasurer was, was moving, and then they needed a new person. And I was like, oh, I guess I can do it. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up becoming the vice president, and just did a lot of neighborhood initiatives to try to make our neighborhood a better place. And when the wards consolidated down from 28 to 14, I saw an opportunity to run for local office. I looked at the field and I said, I want somebody who's going to be responsive. I want somebody who's going to be attentive to neighborhood issues, but also see the big picture and how to run the whole city, not run these wards like little fiefdoms, but really see what's best for the whole city and try to move things in that direction. So I threw my hat in the ring. We campaigned like crazy and beat two incumbents to win the seat for the ninth ward.
Really exciting. Let's talk about the ninth a little bit. Kind of describe the ninth ward, its biggest features, its neighborhoods that people can kind of relate to if they don't, you know, just automatically able to conjure up Ward 9.
Yeah. So the thing that everyone will recognize immediately is the Central West End. The thing about the Ninth Ward that's really unique from previous wards is that it, for the first time, has the entire Central West End all in one ward, which is fantastic just to keep the neighborhood together. Mm-hmm. We also have the Forest Park Southeast, where I live, the neighborhood of Kings Oak, which has the Science Center, has the St. Louis University High School. Also have a little bit of the Kings Oak a little bit of the Vannevar neighborhood. All in all, it's about, I say, 3.1 neighborhoods. It has one of the biggest job centers in it with the Washington University BJC Medical Campus. Cortex is all within the Ninth Ward. And a lot of popular destinations where people go to eat, like, you know, Euclid Avenue or Manchester Avenue, which, you know, we know as the Grove.
So I had reached out to you before May 16th to be on the show, kind of thinking this interview would go one way. But then May 16th happened and a tornado hit. Central West End was a major neighborhood affected by that. I kind of want to turn it over to you, just fully turn it over to you for a second. Kind of describe for the audience what happened that day, what's been happening since, and how people can help.
Yeah, so the tornado came through our city. It came through our city and hit part of my ward, the part of the Central West End that is west of Kings Highway, between Union and Kings Highway. It was definitely the worst hit, but there was damage as far east as Vannevar. And, you know, you've seen maps of the tornado path, but then you've seen other maps that have a little bit wider area, and that's really what you need to look at when you need to understand the damage that was inflicted to the Ninth Ward. The Central West End lost 140-year-old trees. It lost buildings that are going to be very difficult to repair. And while a lot of people look at a neighborhood like that and they say, well, you know, those are wealthy people that got hit, they'll be okay. I want to emphasize these are people that got hit. And whether, you know, you have the means to recover quicker or not, it still hurts when your home is hit by a tree or your roof is ripped off. And so I'm trying to be there for people and trying to make sure that people have the correct information, that we link them to the resources they need. But it's been heartbreaking. It's been really, really challenging. But I do think that in the end, I've seen the best of St. Louis. I'm seeing people come out and help each other. People emerging from their homes with chainsaws in hand, even if their own home is damaged, they've come out to help their neighbors. And that's really the best of our city. And I hope we can keep that unity going.
I'm wondering, like, what was going through your head that day? For me, I was on the air during the tornado. We covered it. We were in storm mode, as we do on KMOX, but we kind of didn't understand the magnitude of, because, you know, it just happened so quickly. You don't see social media right away. You don't know exactly what's going on. How did it kind of unfold for you as an alderman?
Well, it was my wife's birthday.
Oh, my gosh.
So we were at the Art Museum to go see the new exhibit there, Roaring, which I can recommend. It was good. But halfway through it, the staff of the Art Museum started telling us that the exhibit was closed and we needed to go follow them to the lower levels of the museum. At the same time as we started working our way down the stairs, everyone's phone started to go off with the warning. We didn't realize at the time that a tornado had passed right over us on its way to devastate many of the St. Louis neighborhoods that it hit. And when we emerged from the museum to see people's cars crushed by trees, to see huge trees that were, you know, 5-6 feet in diameter just ripped from the ground by their roots. I saw a flagpole that was bent horizontal with the American flag still hanging wet, you know, from the end of it. And that's when I realized, oh my gosh, like we've been hit by a tornado and we got hit directly in the city. So I immediately went and started trying to drive around the ward to survey the damage. And it was very difficult. The roads were blocked by trees. The traffic was snarled on the roads that were open. And so after attempting to get around a little bit, I decided to go back and clear the way so that emergency crews could get to their work. Something that we're kind of told as elected representatives is that when there's an emergency situation, unless we can be directly helpful, like, you know, you're literally the first person to arrive on scene, it's best not to go and try to be there because the actual first responders, the emergency workers, they need that room to work. And if everyone's trying to get in their car and drive by and look at it, that's not helpful to mm-hmm. them getting there.
How did it feel for you just knowing you're in this position where it's like you are supposed to help, you're expected to help, that's what you want to do in this position? It's like, I got to roll up my sleeves and get started. But where do you even start after a tragedy like this?
Well, you know, it was honestly my worst nightmare come to life, because just a couple weeks prior, we had the City Emergency Management Agency in front of the Budget Committee to talk about what they needed. And there's only 4 people in that office. And they were asking for money for an additional position to give them a whole 5 people. They kind of joked that we can all fit in one car. And I kind of joked back, that's not great. What if you get in a car accident? And they said, well, we take different cars just to be sure. But then that day, the entire staff was at a workshop that unfortunately meant the sirens didn't go off and, you know, the ball was dropped in many ways. I'd still like to get, you know, I still have a lot of questions about that. Mm-hmm. I'd still like to get to the bottom of it, because I've known Sarah Russell for a couple of years now and known them to be very good at their job. And so, you know, my immediate reaction was, like, how can we help the people who have been displaced? Like, how can we make sure people are safe tonight? So I was, you know, immediately on the phone, checking with the people I knew around the area to see if they knew who had been damaged, if they knew who had been displaced, and seeing if we could help find people shelter that night. Going from there, it became a real challenge to figure out, how do we clear all this debris? Just entire roads that were blocked, just houses that still had trees sticking out of them. So it became a real challenge to share information to people who didn't have power. Mm-hmm. Right. So I actually just started going and walking around the ward, talking to everyone I saw, just trying to share the information I knew about what the city had said. I was in communication with the mayor's office immediately saying, hey, can we make sure that the debris gets picked up even on the private streets? Because if you know, Central West End has a number of private streets, and a number of those private streets were hit pretty hard. they take over the day-to-day operations that the city would normally handle under normal circumstances. But in this kind of situation, no one expects to be able to recover from a tornado, right? So I was trying to make sure, like, are we going to be hauling debris on those as well? Just trying to look out for my constituents. And again, just walk every part of the ward I could to survey the damage so that I could make sure to report it and get it taken care of. There's a sense of being the responsible parent of the ward in a way. And so you have to really make sure that everyone's safe. And then after that, it's about assessing the damage to make sure that we can get everything cleaned up and get everything safe.
I'm talking with Alderman Michael Browning from Ward 9. Michael, since you brought up Sarah Russell, do you feel that some of the scrutiny that she and Seema have faced in the aftermath of this has been unfair?
I think that, like I said, I knew when I heard from Seema at our budget hearings that they were not prepared for a disaster. And so when I realized one had happened to the city, I thought, you know, this is exactly what I was afraid of. The budget season wasn't even over yet. I hadn't even had time to try to get them more money for their department, which we ended up being able to do. And I'm glad that we were able to do that. But it was like kind of a little bit too late, you know, in many ways. And so I know them to do good work. I think it was absolutely a situation where they were understaffed. And I think that we need to be looking at not trying to place the blame on any one person, but really understanding how we just improve going forward. And this is how I usually operate. I don't like to just point fingers and try to say, well, it's all that person's fault. I don't think the tornado was anyone's fault. And I want to make sure that we do take care of people. And who's the best to do that than someone with the expertise in disaster management? And so that's why I think the immediate reaction of putting Sarah on administrative leave, while I understand that and I appreciate having some accountability, I want to make sure that we also get to the truth of the matter of what happened.
Part two of my interview with St. Louis Alderman Michael Browning is up next on The Rachel Zimmerman Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Welcome back to the Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Now it's time for part two of my interview with St. Louis Alderman Michael Browning.
One thing I've been interested by is the fact that things generally move slowly through the Board of Aldermen. That's just kind of the way it works. But since the tornado, you guys have been able to push things through quickly. My question for you is, does that kind of give you hope for the future as far as like working on other issues that might be able to happen a little quicker? Or, I mean, just kind of describe like why you guys were able to get that done, I guess.
Yeah, so I think that most of my colleagues recognize when there is an immediate need and that we need to work together. As to whether this will work for other issues, it obviously depends on the issue, but to quote one of my colleagues, Sharon Tice, she said, "We'll fight later." And I was like, yep, that's exactly like there's other issues that it's okay to disagree on and okay to have different outlooks on. I'm sure we're all going to have a different idea about how we rebuild after this, for instance. But the package that we're advancing now, this $30 million package to help people, you know, continue to clear debris, to make sure that they have a place to stay, to move their belongings to secure storage, to repair critical infrastructure. These are things that I think most of us can look at and see the need and agree on right now.
How do the alder people mesh together on a typical day? How would you describe that?
I think we get along well. I've often kind of said that we have more in common with each other than we do anyone else in the city because of the nature of the job, which is why it's so important that we also spend a lot of time in our communities so that we understand what our communities are going through and you know, don't lose sight of that and get that city hall brain where you kind of only look at the political side of things. But I'd say that we do get along well on a personal level. And we try to be respectful of each other because at the end of the day, we're coworkers as well as representatives of our communities.
And you all have this shared responsibility to, you know, get things done for the people of St. Louis. Okay, back to the tornado for a second. When it just comes to damage, how can people help or donate or what's most needed in your ward? Because on KMOX, like we raised money for the Red Cross, which is going out and helping like in North City. What's going on in the center? Like if people live close to the Central West End, they've been keeping their distance because they don't want to get in the way. What do you suggest people do?
You know, I'd say continue to go support the businesses that have been affected. A lot of the ones on Del Mar, which are part of the Makers District, which was hit pretty badly. That's been a corridor that we've been trying to get going for a while. And we were really making progress. A lot of new stores opening, a lot of new restaurants that are opening up on that portion of Del Mar. And they were hit badly, but a lot of them are getting back to the place where they're able to reopen. So don't forget they're there. Go visit them. Try to patronize them. You know, as far as the people whose homes were hit and lost, a lot of them have insurance in my ward. A lot of them are going to be okay in the long run. Mm-hmm. So I would say the best thing people can do is give grace to people, understand that they've been hurt, that they're going through a stressful period. Understand that sometimes that comes out in different ways, right? Sometimes people are a little more negative or a little more mean, and you just got to let that go because at the end of the day, being mean to each other is not how we're going to get through this. We've got to present a united front. When I look at how Joplin recovered from their tornado in 2011, it was unity. Mm-hmm. It was that ability to come together for the greater good.
Mm. Okay, so pre-tornado, what were some of the biggest issues you were focused on in Ward 9? I'm just assuming that May 16th hit and it was like, okay, we've got to kind of table these things and focus on the emergency at hand. But overall, what are like some of your passions?
So the biggest thing I've been doing in the last couple of years is the formation of the Department of Transportation. This was a charter change that we put on the ballot last November. It passed with almost 90% of the vote. And it was something that we structured in a way that it needs to be built out by ordinance. The charter is now changed to reflect the mission of that department and what we want it to do. And now we've got to go pass ordinances to build out that structure, make sure that it has the funding and the personnel and the policies that it needs to in order to make our roads safer and better maintained. So I'm a big, big advocate for better transportation options, making it not necessary to own a car in our city, but be able to get around whether you're on foot or by bicycle, or making sure that things are accessible, because disability is absolutely a when and not an if for all of us in our lives. So having an accessible city is a way to make sure that everyone can get around. So those are the kinds of things that I've also focusing on in the ward, in addition to trying to create a better system for the whole city. In addition to that, I'm a real big advocate for housing. I've drawn attention to the fact that the number of households, according to the latest census, the number of households in our city is increasing, which means that if we're going to grow, we need to build more housing. We simply just don't have as much as we used to. We've done a lot of demolition. There's been a lot of conversions from, two families to one family or four families to two family. And we've lost housing overall in the city. And if the households are going up, but the housing units are going down, that's the wrong direction if we need to gain population. So I want to make sure we continue to build more housing. And doing that in areas like the Ninth Ward is important because it attracts people to the city. We actually know from census numbers that when people move to St. Louis for the first time, they end up in the Central Corridor, especially when they move from out of state. If you go online and you search, I'm moving to St. Louis, where should I move? People are always recommending places in the Central Corridor, especially the Central West End. If we don't build more housing, if we don't make sure that we can make those numbers work to build more housing, then the neighborhoods just get more and more expensive because the supply remains the same, but the demand is high. So we've got to make sure we can make that work. And I want to make sure that everyone has a home if they want one. That's another way we combat homelessness is a housing first strategy, making sure that we have enough homes for everybody to live in, because that is the first step to getting anyone back into a place where they can build a life.
I'm talking with Alderman Michael Browning from Ward 9. Since you brought up transportation, I have a question about traffic safety. What do you think? Do you think the perception matches up with the reality when it comes to traffic safety in St. Louis? I feel like we have a reputation for you got to have your head on the swivel, especially downtown where I work. Do you think we have a bigger problem than other cities? And if so, why?
I think we do have a big problem. I'd say it's been a problem in cities across the United States. But it is our adherence to car culture that has made our roads exceptionally dangerous. Cars are bigger. They go faster now. And yet we design our roads much like we did 100 years ago when, the Model T was the most popular model and it could go a max 40 miles per hour. So we need to think about how we're designing our roads to make them safer. We need to make sure that we're protecting the most vulnerable road users, and that is pedestrians or people who are out there using mobility devices. I always say that the crosswalk timer should be long enough for, a disabled person to make their way across the road. Otherwise, it's not long enough. But that kind of safety measure makes us a better city to live in. Last year was, I think, the deadliest year for pedestrians on our streets. So there's definitely a problem. It's not just a perception thing. It's an actual problem. And what I'm doing with the Department of Transportation is meant to address that problem citywide. It shouldn't matter what neighborhood you live in, what your zip code is, or what your ward is. You should be safe on our roads.
What about the unhoused situation in St. Louis? Again, I think there's a perception, especially because a lot of it feels to be concentrated downtown. Why do you think that is? Why do you think we haven't made steps forward with that? Sometimes it feels like we're sliding backwards.
Yeah, so that's a little bit of a different situation where I think the perception is a little bit different than the reality.
Okay.
So St. Louis has what I would say is a manageable problem. We have a number of people who are unhoused, but there are two different categories, and I think it's really important that we talk about this. There is what's called chronically unhoused, which tends to be people who are, usually addicted to drugs or have some sort of disability maybe, or something that's really stopping them from getting housing, a mental health issue, something that really makes it a difficult case to find them a shelter and get them to stay in shelter. Then there's the much larger group, which is people who are kind of intermittently unhoused. They might be couch surfing. They might, you know, spend a couple nights on the streets, but then, you know, find themselves a place, but it's not a consistent place. And so those two categories are very different from each other in that one problem is a lot easier to solve than the other. But what we're seeing in our city, that number of people, it's very, very manageable. I think it's very possible for us to get enough housing so that we can make sure that people are taken care of. But we do have to have the right policies. We do have to have the right staffing and funding to do these things. And when the federal government is pulling back on supporting these initiatives, it's going to make it very difficult for us to address this issue, because the city of St. Louis is shouldering this issue for the entire region. The county, St. Charles, you know, Chesterfield, they're dropping their unhoused people downtown. And then we have to deal with the entire region's population. And that's just not sustainable. I am glad to see that Dr. Page and St. Louis County has agreed that the county needs to do more to help its people as well, because we can't pretend this is confined to one municipality or another. This is a regional issue.
Stick around. Part three of my interview with St. Louis Alderman Michael Browning is up next on The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. Hey guys, time for the final part of my interview with St. Louis Alderman Michael Browning on The Rachel Zimmerman Show.
I want to talk about lowering the filing fees in order to run for public office. This is something you're passionate about. Kind of tell me about that.
Yeah, so last year, you know, I'll start by saying that sometimes elected officials get ideas from people, you know, emailing them, or they look at policies in other cities. Or sometimes they get ideas just because they're going through their day-to-day activities and they come across something and they're like, hey, this shouldn't be that way. So last year, when I was getting ready to run for re-election, I went to pay my filing fee, and I realized that when the aldermen a couple years ago doubled their salaries, this is the board before the one I was on, but they doubled the salary, the language for the filing fee actually refers to the salary. It's 1% of the salary for that position. So when we doubled our salaries, we accidentally doubled the filing fee. And now it's over $700, which is more than it takes to file to run for U.S. Senate.
Wow.
So the idea behind this bill is to make running for office more accessible. It shouldn't matter how much money you make. We want voices from all different aspects and areas of life. So the signature requirement still exists. You still have to go out and get signatures, which is usually a percentage of the votes for mayor in that ward, that you have to go out and talk to people and get their signatures. But money shouldn't be the thing that keeps people from running. So this filing fee bill would lower it down to $100 for aldermen, a flat fee, and then $250 for citywide offices like comptroller, president of the board, or mayor.
Very nice. It's just so interesting how government works. Like, to hear you say that it was accidentally doubled and now it has to go back and be fixed. It's just so interesting the way it's like we fixed one thing, but that just presents kind of a whole new group of problems. It's just fascinating how that works. We're kind of entering a new era for St. Louis. We have a new mayor. She's bringing in some new people. How are you feeling about this new administration?
You know, I am always cautiously optimistic about every new administration. The reason is that I think everyone deserves a chance, and we really don't know how someone's going to be in a job until they're in that job. I didn't know what kind of alderman I would be until I had the job. I knew what I wanted to do, but the realities of the job, the day-to-day, the grind, you know, that really affects people in different ways, and so some people respond well to it, some people don't. So I was cautiously optimistic. 30 days in, they get a disaster that is just bigger than any municipal government can handle. I have to say I've been happy to see the actions that they've taken. I know the city is doing what it can do. We just need federal help. I mean, this is a disaster that is a bigger scale than a municipal government can handle. Mm-hmm. And so we need that federal help. But one thing that I'll give the mayor absolute credit for is I think that her hiring process has been fantastic. I've been really happy with the people she's been naming to the departments, the people that she's decided to keep on as staff. I'm a big believer in just the people in the seat matter, right? It matters who's in that office, even if it's the guy who's deciding what kind of lights we're going to order for our city streetlights. And then suddenly you look out and you're like, we have these lights everywhere. And that was one person who mm-hmm. made that decision. So it matters who's in these seats. And I appreciate that the mayor is taking a very intentional approach about hiring.
You said something just now that interested me as far as, you know, you had an idea of what you wanted to do as an alderman. Sometimes that doesn't always match up with what's actually happening. Kind of flesh that out for me. Like, what has been different than you thought it would be?
You know, it's been a difficult job. Local government is the lowest level of government. So we have to operate under state law and federal law, both of which preempt what we can do here. So initially, I found a lot of challenges in that some of the things I wanted to do were preempted by state law or preempted by just like a lack of federal support. But then I realized that there's so much low-hanging fruit that we can address in our government, so much bureaucracy that's over 100 years old in some cases that just needs a refresh. And that's kind of where the Department of Transportation came out of, is I realized that our charter, which turned 111 years old this year, had provisions in it that really just restricted our streets department to caring about maintenance and not the safety of people. Mm-hmm. It had passages that referred to the sprinkling of streets, which, no, it's not talking about salt. It's talking about an actual water mixture that they put down because the roads were made of a dirt compound that would get really dusty in the summer. So trying to make sure that we modernize our government, make it work better, because when it works better, people benefit.
Do you consider yourself an overall optimist? You said you were you're usually cautiously optimistic about new people, but overall, are you an optimist?
You know, I'm very practical. I would say that I look at reality and I say, okay, this isn't necessarily going to fit into one ideology or another. We just need to look at the facts of this situation and then see what the best solution is to fix it. I want to make sure at the end of the day that we're taking care of people. Mm-hmm. And to do that, I don't think you can be an optimist. You actually have to be one of those people that looks at all the things that could possibly go wrong and try to prepare for it. Anxiety is a big part of this job, but I try to put it to, you know, productive use in saying, what can we prepare for? So to give you an example, when the tornado hit, I realized pretty quickly that the permit office was going to get overwhelmed. It's been short-staffed for years. And then we have a situation where, you know, hundreds and hundreds of homes are going to need repair all at the same time. That's going to be a lot of permits being issued. So if the one person in the permit office is still just one person, we're not going to be able to handle that influx. And then that's going to affect people's ability to recover. So I flagged that for the mayor's office saying, hey, this is going to be an issue. When I look at the homes around my neighborhoods that are going to need to be repaired, there's going to be a lot of need for expediting this process. So that's, I think, the part of the job where you are constantly trying to anticipate issues. Same way when writing legislation, right? You can't just write legislation and be rather carefree about it. You're writing legislation for a city that has, again, a 111-year-old charter and then thousands upon thousands of ordinances and court cases and all sorts of things that have kind of shaped and molded what our law is in the city. And if you don't know your history, if you don't know the context in which you're editing that law, you can make mistakes that might have consequences you didn't anticipate. So I try to make sure I do this job holistically. And I say, I'm a big fan of having the whole conversation so that we can make sure that we get things right.
Alderman Michael Browning, this is my final question for you, and it's an easy one. What's just some of your favorite things to do in St. Louis, whether it's going out to eat, going to museums? Like, where can we find you?
Well, you know, I don't want to always be found. No, I'm just joking. I think one of my favorite things is our parks. Forest Park is an absolute jewel. We refer to it as the crown jewel of St. Louis because it puts other cities' parks to shame just in how beautiful it is, how free it is, with a free art museum, a free zoo, a free history museum that always has great exhibits, and then just beautiful recreational spaces that are just maintained so well thanks to that public-private partnership that we have. But I'd also say this. St. Louis punches far above its weight when it comes to the food. We have an incredible food scene that's just showcases some of the best international food. So I am always trying to try new restaurants, try new breakfast places. My favorite meal of the day is easily breakfast. And so I'm always hunting for a new, the best breakfast sandwich or the best, bagel in St. Louis. But I really think that this city is incredible because of the people that are here. And so I love to just seek out and experience everyone in this city and their new ideas and how they're implementing it, whether it's a restaurant, whether it's a new event space concept. This city has a ton to offer. And I think that, our future is bright. We talked about, am I an optimist? I think our future is bright if we make the right decisions and we remember that our first duty is to care for each other.
Alderman Michael Browning from Ward 9, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Hey, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Thanks again for listening to The Rachel Zimmerman Show on KMOX. It was really nice to talk to St. Louis Alderman Michael Browning, particularly about the tornado and the aftermath of the tornado. As he said, many people in his ward have insurance. They're going to be able to rebuild and get back on track. But it is important to remember all of those who don't have insurance. just, you know, think of the uncertainty they're facing right now, the hardships they're facing. This is not something that's going to go away quickly. So we as a community just need to continue to rally around these folks and show unity. I was very appreciative of the message of unity that Alderman Browning, you know, kind of brought to this interview. And, you know, I appreciated that he talked about how important that is, because it is truly so important. We spend so much time, you know, arguing with people and you're not on my side and this and that. But at the end of the day, we all live here in St. Louis. We all want to see the city succeed, and we do love our neighbors at the end of the day. So just something to keep in mind, you know, kind of a nice lesson. You know, if you missed any part of the conversation with Alderman Michael Browning, the episode is available for podcast now. Just search for The Rachel Zimmerman Show in the Odyssey app or anywhere else you get your podcasts. But, you know, the Odyssey app is nice. We have a huge library of content for you to check out. You can leave a voice memo for us here at KMOX. Let us know what you're thinking. There's just a ton of great features, and it's free and easy to set up. So go do that now if you haven't already. All right, guys, I am running out of time. I'm going to get out of here. Thanks again for listening, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.